Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, Season 2, Episode 3. This will be my last time telling y'all that it's Season 2, because I'm pretty sure y'all know that it's Season 2 by now. All right, but I am, as always, I am excited about today's episode. And before we jump in today's episode, I want to make a few announcements. First of all, last week, I did an episode on talking about taking things to the next level, and I did make an announcement saying that I was going to change the name from Frustrated Black Christian to Next Level. We'll continue to be Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Plus, there's already a couple of podcasts that's named Next Level, and I don't want to knock their hustle. I respect everybody else's hustle. Plus, Frustrated Black Christian is kind of like unique on its own, so you know, that just gives me a way to explain who we are, what we do, and what we're focused on, all right? So that's the announcement for Straight Up Black Christian Podcast is not going anywhere, but we are growing. And I'm so honored to have two people that are very important in my life with me on today. I've known them for a while now. They are two people that I hold near and dear to my heart. They are part of the Frustrated Black Christian family. And today we are talking about the importance of networking. I'm pretty sure some of you have heard the famous saying, your net worth is your network. So it's important that we have the right people around us, that we trust the people who are around us, and that we're all like-minded and that we are able to grow together. And these two people that I have on with me today, they are known as my squad, my team of contributors to the podcast. So let me introduce to you. First, got to go ladies first. Sorry, bro. Ladies first, the host of the Nays Dialogue. I call her my podcast mentor, my friend, my sister, no one other than Miss Taylor Harris. What's going on, Taylor?
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Trying to get churchy already.
Right.
What's going on with you, sis? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, can't complain. You just told us before we went on air that it is a blizzard in Connecticut.
Yes, sir. Whole East Coast.
12 degrees. And here I am complaining about 36 degrees in Jacksonville. Man,
you gotta be thankful for what you got.
Well, when I say I'm grateful, because 12, Jesus, help us. But I'm so glad to have you on. The next person, one of my closest friends, one of my best friends, my brother, he has probably contributed to maybe 65% of all my jokes, but he's my little brother. 70? Okay, we're good. We're rounded up 70. But he is a genius. He is a great man. In the making, he's already great. He's going to be even greater. I'm so proud of him. He's my brother. I'm talking about no one other than Alden James. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, bro, man? Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
I'm glad, and I appreciate y'all as well being a part of this conversation. So, like I said, we're talking about networking, the importance of networking. Because although we're not entitled Next Level, we are focused on taking things to the next level. So in that, as you are pursuing the next level, it is so important for us to make sure we have the right people around us, because your atmosphere or your environment determines your destiny. It determines where you're going in life. So it's so important that you make sure not just that you are focused, but the people around you are focused, that they have that same like-mindedness. You cannot be an eagle hanging around, Bishop James used to say, jive time turkeys, but we're not taking it to the 70s, but you get the analogy. You can't be an eagle. You can't be an eagle hanging around turkeys. So when I say network, when I say support system, when I say friends, Taylor, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, I went to school when I went, my degree is actually in business management. So when you said networking, I immediately went back to all of my marketing classes and, all the different courses I had to go through, because that is basically my freshman year when we got there, they told us that everywhere you want to go is going to depend on who you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's an importance on making sure that you're making the right connections with the right people. And that applies to everything. That's just not with business. That's with everything.
Right.
It's all about who you know and who you're connected to. So it's not just a business principle, it's a life principle.
That's good. That's good. What you got to think, what you think about that, bro? What comes to your mind when we're talking about this subject?
I would tend to agree with her. I'm also in the business management degree. And they always talking about how important just networking is, never burning bridges and never making sure that you are connected with the right people. You can get 1,000 yes, but you only need, you can get 1,000 no's, but you only need one yes, and it'll change your life, literally. So
that's what's up. That's awesome. That's awesome. Both of y'all are like, that's why they're the smart ones, and I'm just the
oh, please.
I'm just, I don't know what I am. I'm Otis. That's we got Eddie Kendricks over here, and then we got David Ruffin, and I'm Otis. Ain't nobody come to see Otis. No, I'm just playing. I think Hollywood.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Right, but it's your podcast.
Hey, exactly. Hey, you know, it's a producing thing, you know? You can be the producer. And just put the right people in the right place. You know what I'm saying? But I was reading an article, and it says, here are four reasons why networking is important to your career or life development. It says, one, networking contributes to your social well-being. Networking leads to the exchange of ideas. Network helps you meet people because it boosts your confidence. But the wrong type of networking, the wrong type of having the wrong people around you, too many yes men can give you a false sense of confidence. And it can make you think that you are better or higher. It gives you this sense of pride to where you feel like you could talk and you can say anything to anybody when that is not the case. You have to be, you know, just make sure that you have people that not only will support you, but hold you accountable. I think that accountability X factor in today's society is so off kilter. There's a new document that's coming out tomorrow, I believe, is debuting at a festival today, and it'll be on TV starting tomorrow. And it's a documentary about Bill Cosby, and it's entitled Let's Talk About Bill Cosby, or something to that matter.
Yeah, we need to talk about Cosby.
We need to talk about Cosby. And when I was thinking about this, I said, I know sis saw the preview.
I love documentaries.
I love it too. And it's so important. And one of the things that I heard a lady say that's on there, she was like, don't cut this off. Everybody knew what was going on with Bill Cosby, stuff that he was doing, and nobody said anything. That's the same thing you said about R. Kelly. Are these other celebrities, you don't have to even be celebrities, but you have these people around you who see you doing wrong, who see you messing up, and it's the wrong type of networking. All networking isn't good networking. And it's so important to have people in your life that will hold you accountable. So my question to you all is this: how important or what have you learned from having somebody that held you accountable? Or was there a moment in your life when you didn't have somebody to hold you accountable, and now that you look back, you wish you had somebody to hold you accountable? I hope that makes sense.
Now let's let Alden go first, because we did it the last way, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're working. Let me say this right quick to everybody. This is our first episode together. We're going to get this game plan together. So you just bear with us. We're going to get better as time goes. We are not soda. We are wine. We get better with time. All right, go ahead, bro.
Oh, that's a whole nice.
No, that's why Keisha loved me, because I put them lines on her.
Let's see. I would say there was a time where, probably should have listened to better advice. Probably should have listened to the people saying no, but then you have the outlier saying yes, and because the outlier seems so more on the popular side, you go what the outliers say, and not knowing that the outliers actually aren't even taking their own advice. They're doing the opposite of what they're telling you what to do.
Right.
And once you get into your bad predicament and position, they're nowhere to be found. So yeah, that's my two cents.
I agree with that. I definitely agree. What you got, sis?
I grew up I was like the youngest in my circle. Like a lot of the people that I, especially growing up, was around all the time, they were older than me. And so that automatically brings a level of accountability with everything that you do. And then growing up as a PK, that brings up a level of accountability. My mother always used to tell me before we went into church, people are going to be looking at you. It don't matter, you know, if they're doing something wrong, if they're not doing it, if you're not doing it, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
Right. So regardless of what other people do, everybody's still going to be looking at you. So I grew up with that kind of mentality, that regardless of what everybody else is doing, I have to present myself in a way that's going to speak well of me and the people that I'm connected to. So then when I pick my friends and when I take people into my inner circle, that's always something that I'm going to think about, having people that are going to tell me the truth, whether it hurts, whether I like it, whether, you know, I get mad at them. It doesn't matter. I want people around me who are going to be, you know, pull on my coattail and, you know, sit me down and say, remember what you said? You know, that thing that you posted, you know, remember where we went? So I've always had that kind of level of people that don't mind telling me when I'm wrong. However, I think that, especially with the Cosby situation and like you were bringing up with R. Kelly and all that, the problem in that situation is they were the money makers, right? So everybody around them was dependent on them for their income.
Right.
So if they told him, or, you know, in any situation, if the people around you are dependent on you for something, then they're not going to be the ones who are going to try to correct you, because they need you to keep doing what you're doing. Right. In order for them to succeed.
Yes.
So that's why it's important to have the right people around you, the people who are almost like on your same level or even above. So that way they can look at you with an objective eye and say, I don't care what you're doing, right? That's not going to affect what I'm doing. I'm just trying to help you out.
Right.
The people around Kelly and Cosby and all them other people, they're like, nah, that's my check. So yeah, it's wrong, but I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah,
that's true. That's absolutely true. They don't want to mess up their bag, so
exactly.
They let it ride out. But that that's why you, and you just said something, why that's why it's so important to have people around you that you look up to more than people that you're looking down to, because nine times out of 10, you're going to disregard what that person who you're looking down, what they have to say, even if they might be saying, telling you what's right. You know, if you, you think little of them, you're not going to honor their opinion or whatever like that. That's why I surround myself around people who I admire. They have something in them that I'm not jealous about, but it's something that I desire to ascend to. There's something, there's a quality in each person that if you call each person who I consider close to me, now my group is not that big, but there's something in that person that inspires me. You need to have somebody that inspires you, that motivates you to do better. You know, it was my conversations with the two of you, and to see what you guys have accomplished in your young lives that made me want to go back to pursue things in school, to pursue things with my finances, to pursue things, the podcast, jumping out and doing this kind of stuff like that. And it's because I had somebody that inspired me and influenced me. I was able to take that step. So it's so, so important to have those people of influence that inspire you to do better, and not just people around you that depending, that's dependent on you to do better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
So one thing I want to make this turn, you know, we're gonna keep making this turn. We're still talking about accountability. We're still talking about accountability. And it's not just those who, those yes men who won't hold people accountable because that's their money, but we're all church kids. We all grew up in the church. Let's talk about it. Y'all know I'm gonna go there. But there have been times when I know for myself growing up, we've put these people on a pedestal. We've put certain people and individuals, and we reverence them, reverend. We reverence them. We honor them so much to a point to where we cover their flaws, we cover their mistakes, and they end up damaging other individuals who are trying to grow in the faith, because the networking of the system, or the networking of our system that's in the church, is not up to par. So we have these crash and burn ministries to where they're so soaring so high, but when scandal hits them, they come crashing down, and it does more than just affect that individual, that family, or that church. They don't say, look at that person. They say, look at the church. So it's important that we have proper networking or the proper system surrounded, even in ministry.
Right.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Y'all want to keep me going? Want me to keep going? I can keep going. I'm just saying.
I'm glad you stopped there, because I thought you were going somewhere else.
We're gonna talk about it. Let's conversate. There's no fear in our heart here, Taylor. You know that.
No, I'm not afraid. But I think you know what I'm thinking about.
I know.
So that's why I thought you was veering off too, and I was like,
No, but I mean, I guess I just stop where I feel the need to stop at. And if I feel like we have to go deeper, we need to go deeper. But I think it's so important, because I am in the mindset of progression in every phase of my life. Because I am in the mindset of growth in every phase of my life, there are some things that I had to look in the past about, and there were certain things that I shouldn't have to clean up for us to progress, but I understand that I have to, because that's just the calling on my life for me to clean up certain things and clean up certain not mistakes of just individuals, but his namesake. For his namesake, it needs to get cleaned up. And, you know, we've made so many bad choices because we didn't hold our pastors accountable, because we didn't hold our ministers accountable, our evangelists, our deacons, those people in high regard. And we think just because that they are a man or a woman of God, we think that everything that they say or everything that they do is of God. When the truth is, they're human just like us. This is not a judgmental thing. What I'm saying is this is an accountability thing, to where we have to be in a place to where if pastor mess up, pastor, you're wrong. Sister, you're wrong. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I thank God for Alden, because he's a part of our ministry. I thank God for Akeisha, and then the other person. I cannot go without saying thank God for is my pops. You know, these are three people who hold me accountable of my action. And when I'm wrong, they all have their different ways of coming to tell me that I'm wrong or whatever like that. And you're not saying you got to stand up and call somebody out and put all their mess in the streets. What I'm saying is you got to call right, right, and call wrong, wrong. And I think we're just in a place where we're not doing that anymore, to where we just let people do whatever they want to do, say they fail, and they don't really mean it. They make these mistakes and it becomes cycles in their life. And oh man, I'm trying to hold my tongue.
No, don't hold your tongue. But I think if you're gonna hold somebody accountable, right, there's a level of humility that a person has to have in order for them to accept it and apply it.
Right.
So a lot of the times, especially if you're dealing with, like a hierarchy and a relationship, if you're a congregant to a pastor, or even if you're, a deacon or a missionary or whatever, that's still your leader, right? And so a lot of the times, they're going to look at you and be like, who are you to tell me what, right? There's so much pride that is accompanying a lot of these pastors,
right,
that they think that the only person that can hold them accountable, if they are willing to be held accountable, is God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're not God, you don't get to tell me, the pastor, the leader, what I can and cannot do.
Right.
Or what is and what is not good. I'm the leader of this church. I'm the head of the, so there has to be a humility within the individual in order for accountability to even work. Mm. What good is having a network of people around you to hold you accountable if you ain't going to listen to nobody?
Right.
That's true.
It makes sense.
That's true.
The question that comes to mind, and if you got something, bro, let me know.
You good.
The question that comes to mind is, and I can only go by me. I can only go by a larger one. And you say that sense of pride, which is so true and is so prevalent within our leaderships. I work at a radio station, and I was, I deal with these pastors from time to time, and these pastors can be some of the most arrogant, know-it-all, think their butt should be kissed type of people you would ever come in contact with. And my question is, you didn't start out this way.
Exactly.
What made you get to this point? Now, Alden, you are a PK too. Give me something, give me some instances, or give me something what's on your heart as far as like the things that you have experienced with, and I guess our conversation is turning. We're still talking about the importance of networking, but I guess I feel more led going into the wrong type of networking.
I would say I was fortunate with my father, that he was really not those type of men of God. He wasn't that type of preacher,
right?
And he was that outlier. He was that type that would, he's following God. He don't care what the next person say or whatnot. But, being a musician,
you see all of those, you know, those same type of creatures. Mm-hmm. And I've had my share. I've had people to tell me they're going to give me a certain amount of money. Then after the service, they say, let me change my clothes. You don't see them after that. Then they call you a couple of days later and say, you know, I'm just under the anointing and stuff of that nature. I'm going to take care of you. And some preachers I still haven't been taken care of to this day. And I played for a lot of places and seen a lot of that misbehavior where they just I'm trying to think of the words to use, but the fact of they are a man of God, like you aren't a man of God or you can't be on their level, like it's still something that you should give. It's just called respect. Like, you know, the fact that you don't respect people and you use the term man of God, I'm the man of God, as your way of an out, that's a headache for me. And that's it definitely turns my stomach. And it for me, knowing that a few of my siblings have left the church because of the man or the woman of God using that term or their stature to say the things that they want to say or to do the things that they want to do towards people around our age. Our people around our age in that 35 to 30 range have really been hit the hardest, I think, when it comes to the man of God using their quote unquote power and to say and to do and manipulate. And so, that's the accountability about, you know, these things need to be said. And it shouldn't be just because I'm younger or just because I was 12 when it happened. It shouldn't be listened to, or it shouldn't be honored as being truthful. I think that's another thing that's happened. Just because I'm young, and just because I was younger when it happened, now I'm addressing it now. No, that can't be true. No, yeah, it is true, but I'm just now getting the courage at 30, 33 or 34, however we all are, years old. I'm just now getting the courage to address my situation. And I think that's going to cause a lot of blood on a lot of quote unquote men of God and women of God hands.
It's so true. I don't even know if they understand or even take into consideration the after effects of their action or the after effects of the lack of accountability. I don't blame my parents, but I did have conversations with my parents where I've told them, you know, now that I'm older and I'm, you know, you say you get bolder with your age. I wouldn't dare say that you're growing up because of an automatic whooping. But, you know, somebody should have said something. Somebody should have did something, because like you said, bro, there is a trigger effect, there is the after effect, and I would extend it. I would say probably from the age of 30, from 30 to 40 years old, that generation where they have been affected by these accusers or these violators who have no accountability, who've used their titles and their position or their money to take advantage of these innocent ones. What happened is it has taken effect, so where they have left the church and now they don't even require their children to go to church or to have a relationship with God. Because what happens is this is important. It's not so much about, yes, being in church is important, but it is the networking. It is the fellowship of being united with somebody, to have that same belief system. And when you are disconnected from that network, when you're disconnected from those group of people, what happens is you start establishing your own belief in your own system. And instead of praying to God and going to Jesus Christ, now you're praying to the universe and you're burning your sage and you're burning your incense and you're creating a whole different type of God. When there is a God that loved you and he always loved you, he still loves you, but he was just misrepresented. Because nobody held them accountable. We got to that. That's the generation that I am called to, that age group of those who were violated and left behind. I had a conversation with somebody with something that happened to me, and I wanted to talk about it. And you know what they told me? Let it go. It ain't gonna do you no good talking about it. But for me, I felt like I needed to get it out so that I could grow, so that I could move forward. Thank God I had a wife that I could be, that I could confide in. Thank God I had friends that I could confide in that helped me get it out. Because if I would have continued to hold it in, what happens is when you hold it in, you use it as a crutch while you're not growing in life because nobody gave you the opportunity to talk about it. We got to destroy the system because the system is broken already. We need to break it even the more and ask God to reshape it for his will and for his glory. Because like I said, the product, nothing was wrong with the product. The product is still okay. God is still needed and effective in this time that we are living in. But the representation of who he's supposed to be is sucky. That's why Jesus said, don't pray for the harvest. The harvest is ready. Pray for them laborers. Them laborers are the ones that got them issues. Them laborers are the ones that are broken and that need rehabilitation and need to be reshaped and need to be renovated in me. It's those laborers that need the help, not the harvest. The harvest is ready to be saved. The harvest is ready to come back to me. Exactly. It's just the laborers, those who are laboring, they are few. And those who call themselves, the other ones who call themselves laborers are not laborers at all. They are lovers of themselves.
Right. Yeah, bro, that's true, bro.
What you say, sis?
The marketing is all wrong. It was just like I said, it's business principles that could be applied to anything that you're doing, whether you're talking about the church or your friends or whatever. That's always been the problem. Everybody's marketing Jesus the way that they want to see him. So you got certain people who they just want the loving part. So that's the only thing that we're going to advertise is just God is love. Everybody just loves him. Then there's the other part that they want to focus on, everybody going to hell. So that's the thing. Jesus' judgment, he going to come, he going to judge. And then the other part, you know, like everybody's using whatever they want to, that part that they take out of him, that's what they market. And so depending on where you are and who you're close to, that's the only thing that you see, because that's the only people that are telling you who Jesus is.
Right.
So like you said, there's nothing wrong with the product. It's the marketing that's wrong. Gotcha. And the marketing is wrong is because the network of people who are doing the marketing are wrong.
Right.
Right. See, like Paul, that's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible where Paul checks Peter. Right. Now you would think that Paul, being a newcomer, would not say anything, right? He was a persecutor of the Christians. He used to kill these people.
Right.
And then he comes in and starts chastising Peter, who is the head of the church. He's the one that Jesus chose to be the successor. And Paul is rebuking Peter. He's like, you saying one thing, but then you acting out another thing when you with the Gentile. You say, when you with the Gentiles, you acting like a Gentile. When you with the Jews, you acting like a Jews, and you dissing the Gentiles. But then when you go back to the Gentiles, you acting like a Gentile, right? Paul had the audacity, if you will, to check Peter and not do it privately, but openly. Because he knew that if he did it openly, it would help the body. right?
Yeah.
So the problem is that we like to check people openly, not because it's going to help the body, but because it'll get us more views and it'll get us more likes and it'll get us more clicks. So if I get up in here and I talk about you, oh, I heard that Olajuwon, he was doing this and this and this and that, and I can draw people to me because I'm tearing you down, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the disgusting part of where we live in right now, yeah. this era that we live in, that it is profitable to be salacious, right? Mm-hmm. So if I started a Christian gossip website, I could be making millions of dollars talking about people who I know.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've seen some things, right? I know some
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if I decided to put a dollar amount on the stuff that I knew, oh, my financial problems will go away in Jesus' name. But I'm not going to do that because a network, the Bible speaks about a network in the terms of hedges and in the terms of those friends. David had Jonathan, right? The reason why Jesus sent out the disciples two by two is so that they would have a network of people. Jesus didn't just choose 12 random dudes just because he wanted to choose 12 random dudes. He did it so that he could have a network. John did the same thing with his followers. Everybody has somebody around them that would be like, no, that's not right. You can't be doing that. So if we're going to have a network of people around us, one, we have to choose who is going to be the best people around us. You can't just choose anybody, right? Because that'll mess you up. But if you choose the right people to be around you, then those are the people that if you do get in trouble, they'll cover you until they're ready to say, okay, you learn from this fake, now go back out. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah,
we got people that will uncover you, take pictures, post it on Instagram, and get rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now we're like all y'all are saying, we're in that wounded generation where it's like, I don't trust nobody.
Yeah.
Because last time I told my secrets, last time I tried to, confide in somebody, I got burnt. So now I'm independent. I don't talk to nobody. I'm an introvert. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't even go to church like that. I'm spiritual. I don't be doing the whole religious thing. It's about your relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not about church. It's about your relationship. And I got a relationship that's wonderful. But if you're talking to yourself, you're going to be a psychopath because you're going to start answering yourself because humans were meant to have connection. Yes. So the longer you stay by yourself in that relationship and in that spiritual connection that you got, okay, keep listening to yourself and see where you end up in about a year and a half. If you see if you're better off keeping yourself in it just by, talking to yourself, it's not going to work. No. Humans were meant to have connection. And that's what the good part of church is supposed to do. You come in and you share with the believers who are around you so that you can get better. The problem is that you got to find the right thing. And just because it might have failed the first time doesn't mean where you go somewhere else, it's not going to happen again.
Right. That's why it's so important to have be able to try or to test your network to see if they are mature enough to hold you accountable. And if you are mature enough to hold them accountable, because, we live in a time where everybody just looking to feel good. And that's just the kind of like how Taylor said, there's some people who just want to hear Jesus loves me regardless of he's a good father. And he's just this passive aggressive, not aggressive. He's just this passive guy that lets you do whatever you want to do. And he still loves you anyway, because we all, and then you got this other marketing area to where you preach about people who just hating on you. They just hating on you, what God about to do in your life and all that kind of stuff like that. Yeah. They them hater preachers. Bring it. But anyways, you got them other people that they start looking at this and then they take this as marketing to draw you, to give you that euphoria or to give you that good feel so that you will come back, and it's not the place for you. In Christ, everything you need, there is a place where you are destined to be it. So you need to have a moment of strategy. You got to be strategic when you, and I'm, man, don't want to sound preachy, but I'm kind of like going into my message for tomorrow. But you got to be strategic about your approach. You got to be prayerful about your approach. Then you have to be active in your approach. Don't just sit there and die because they made you feel good the first two services. Just because he talked about your sister that hated on you all these years and you think that, oh, he preaching a word, and then you find out he a snake in the grass because he was just trying to either play in your pocketbook or play in your pocketbook. Somebody catch that on the way home. They are she are playing your pocketbook too. Both of them play.
Yeah, both of them will.
You got to be careful. Say, it's 2022. But anyway, you have to be careful because of that good feeling. Try the spirit. The scripture tells us this. Try the spirit. And see whether they are from God or not. It is so important. You can't just connect yourself to any and everybody. It's not going to work. You have a part to play in it, too. Yeah, we're going to talk about the leadership, but the members have a part as well, too, because if y'all just lay there and take it, at some point, I got to stop blaming the leadership, and I got to blame the people who just sitting there like Miss Seeley off of The Color Purple. I just lay there. You ain't got to take Mr. Stuff.
Right.
Don't just lay there. Get your butt up. We got to be active in Christ. And it's so important nowadays because I was reading in Hebrews where Paul was talking to the church, I believe it was, where he was telling the church but not to forget to forsake, don't forsake the assembling of the believers. Why? Because it's going to help you in the last days as the coming of Christ is approaching. This is not just to say, I know such and such or whatever like that. No, but it strengthens me to draw closer to God. When I see Taylor over there worshiping God, when I see Alden over there worshiping God, it makes me want to say, God, I want to have that relationship that you got with my brother, with my sister. It encourages me to draw closer to God.
Right.
But when we separate ourselves because of these issues, it takes us away from the presence of God, and that's the devil's playing ground. That's his jam. He can easily take us out by then because all he's going to do is play on your emotions. So we got to break this thing down, and we'll continue on with this conversation as we go on, especially this month of going into the month of February, because I have an interview. I'm doing a podcast episode with one of my good friends, my brother, Pastor Colby Nesbitt, and I want to talk from the pastor side of how do we pastor in today's generation? How do we pastor in today's society and still be effective? Because, yes, it's Black History Month. I love Black History. My sister is excellent in that Black History thing. She does a thing with the Black History. I won't even try to act like I'm more smart or intelligent with her on that because she kills it. She has a deep knowledge in that. But one thing I thought about was this. This is the Black History Month, but there's another side of Black History, our history period, that we don't need to repeat no more.
Right.
There's a side of history that we need to break, and it's holding accountable. And that's kind of like what I want to address this month. Although it's Black History, we want progressive, Black progression as well, because that's what those historic figures was about. Dr. King, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, all these people, they were about progression, not repeating. And just talking about their accomplishments. Talking about what Dr. King did year after year ain't doing nothing for me if I don't apply it.
But isn't that just like the church, though?
Oh, man. Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on.
I mean, that's exactly what the church do. They want that form of glory, but they're not looking to see, okay, God can do a new thing right here, right now. Why not search for it? Why not be progressive, even when it comes to seeking and searching for the glory of God? No, back in the early 80s and the early 90s, we used to have some church. Okay, it's 2022. Why not now? And you know, so I'll put that back in your hands.
No, that's good. I mean, it's real talk, bro. And we know I gotta let you go because you got some other stuff you gotta do and sis too. So I'm not gonna hold y'all for too much longer. But I think this is something that we have to address and that's what accountability would do. They'll tell you, oh, that's cool, but it ain't. We passed that. We're building on that. We're not dwelling in that. We're moving on to that. That's just like the story that Jesus gave of the ones with the talents. He gave one, two, one, five. And we're just like that one that's holding on to that one. Like you said, remember when we shouted that day? What is he doing now? How have you doubled up on what God did with you, did through you?
Right. Yeah.
I was always taught. That's the problem. Yeah. I was always taught. Back in my day.
Yeah, man, it's true.
Back in my day, we had. It's scary, though. Change is scary. And that's what I learned. Like, that's what all those statements, the underlying issue behind all of that is, I don't want to change because change is scary. All right. But that's also because they haven't stepped outside their own network, right? So all they know and all they're going off of is what they see. And if you keep seeing the same thing over and over and over again, of course you can't dream of something newer and bigger and better because all you've ever seen is the same thing. That's why it's important to have people in all areas, in different areas that are doing different things, that are at different levels so that you can be exposed to other things, right? Mm-hmm. That's the importance of a network. I'm not a pastor, but I have pastor friends. So I get to see things from their perspective. I'm not a mother, but I have friends who have children. So I get to see things from their perspective. That's the importance of having different people around you, because they're going to bring their experience and their lessons, and that makes you grow and you do better. Problem is that a lot of us, we don't want to do better because we can't see better. You can't be what you've never seen.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. That's good. And I guess at some point, I don't want anybody to get this twisted on what we're saying and all that we're saying. You have to take it in the spirit that it's given and have an ear to hear what the spirit could be saying, even in the conversation to the church, and hear the desire for better in this conversation. So what I'm trying to say is this: nobody's judging. Nobody's looking down on you, because I realize this, those who violated have been violated themselves. It's an ongoing cycle.
Hurt people.
Right. It is a repeated cycle. So we need to bring it to the table and talk about it all. There's nothing wrong with having the conversation. Will it be uncomfortable? Yes. Is change difficult? Yes. We understand that. But if you want to grow, it is necessary for you so that you can ascend and excel and progress in life the way that you desire to. It don't matter how old you are. If something happened to you that shouldn't have happened to you, we need to hold them accountable and let you know, even if we don't tell them, we need to let you know that it was wrong. We need to let you know it was not God, and that God loves you anyway, and that you can grow from this. People just need, they just need that release of that balloon that's in the chest. To say you can breathe again, man. Because we held this stuff in for so long, and it's choking the life out of us.
It is.
Man, we've been living with COVID in the church for years, and we never talked about it.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Because it's been that taking our breath away. It's been taking our life away. And it's been leaving it, and we're left on life support. But God is still God to where he can resuscitate us and build us back stronger and better if we take the steps and don't reject the vaccine of accountability. And don't reject the vaccine of love and take it in so that it can do you some good.
That's good.
You know, this is kind of my jam. I can stay in this all day, but we got to get out of here. We're going to continue this conversation throughout this month of February. This is pre-recorded. So this episode will be coming out on Monday, which is the 31st. But going into February, we're going to be talking about Black progression. Not just Black history, but Black progression. Not just Black, but progression, period. Right.
Yeah.
You can be white and progress. We need everybody to progress. You're my brothers, you're my sister, regardless of how you look. Well, hopefully you ain't ugly, I'm just playing. no, just playing. You're my brother, you're my sister, regardless of how you look, or your color, or your creed, or your beliefs. You're still God's child. And even if you're straight away, you're still his child. So that means you're still my sibling. So it's my job to win you back with love.
Right.
I tell our church this, and I'm gonna close, and I'm gonna give y'all a few seconds for y'all to put a bow on this. I tell the church this all the time. I believe that the love of Christ is the strongest component or X factor in the world today. And I believe that I can conversate with anybody, I can connect with anybody, and not be influenced by them at their present time, and know that the love of Christ that is within me will draw you. And I won't be drawn to you, to what you believe, but you'll be drawn to what I believe because of the love of Christ. It's just that strong.
Yeah.
So we're going to put a pause right there. Bro, sis, if y'all have any closing remarks, and, I don't want to feel like I'm in church. I'm going to get a benediction.
Oh man, I'm just ecstatic to be a part. Great conversation, and just genuine conversation, and just no malice, and just being able to talk amongst each other and better each other is always, it's always a win in my book. So that's all I got.
That's sorry. She got sick. Ditto.
I agree with everything he said, and you know, learn from the example. This is networking right here. What we doing is networking. So, you know, find you two or three. The Bible says two or three are gathered, huh? Just find you two or three people, and progress. Go on and progress to the next level.
And I'm so appreciative to y'all. Y'all don't know how. And when I can ask y'all that. For us to come together in this concept that I had, I was so grateful that y'all agreed to it, because this is what I prayed for. Everything that I'm doing so far in season two of Frustrated Black Christian, I prayed about it. God gave me who to connect with, who to talk to, and what to do. Everybody that he told me to go talk to, and I talked to them, they said yes. You said yes. Taylor said yes. Tim Shropshire said yes. Pastor Nesbitt, who we'll have later on this month, said yes. And it's like, God is setting this up for something that's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than any one of us. And it's so important that we have those bold individuals that will come together and have this conversation, that, you know, we'll be able to reach those who might not go to church. They might just run into this podcast and say, dang, this is what I need to hear. So I can't thank y'all enough. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all with all my heart. Thank you,
love you too.
Taylor. Thank you, bro. Thank you, Alden. Thank you all for listening to Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. This is season 2, episode 3. I'm probably going to rename this something else, but it's talking about networking. And continue to listen. We'll see you next week for another episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Remember to be positive, be purposeful, be productive, continue to progress. And I'll see y'all next time. Peace.